Radio for entertainment and teenage PD Radio for entertainment and teenage PD Radio for entertainment and teenage PD Radio PD Radio PD Radio PD Radio for entertainment and teenage life for entertainment life for entertainment and teenage life for entertainment and teenage life entertainment news for life PD Radio for life entertainment news for life PD Radio for entertainment and life. PD Radio for entertainment and teenage youth for life.
Moira and Brianna, and you're listening to TD Radio, brought to you by TeenDiaries.net. It's Monday, March 2nd, 2015. It's 9 p.m. in New York City, and tonight we're honoring the past, celebrating the present, and anticipating the future. Why, you ask? Because March is indeed Women's History Month. Yay! Go, girls! In the United States, it grew out of a week-long celebration of women's contributions to culture, history, and society, organized by the School District of Sonoma, California, in 1978. Now, here's a fun fact. Presentations were given at dozens of schools, and hundreds participated in a real woman essay contest, and a parade was even held in downtown Santa Rosa. That's the way they brought this sucker in. But now we're doing things different, a little bit different. We are going to take time today to pretty much honor, pay homage to some incredible women. So who is ready to begin?
I'm ready.
Don't all be so excited.
I is ready.
You is ready? All right. Okay. Well, let's jump ahead to 2015. What would you all consider to be included in the definition of a real woman? Okay. And I'm afraid that I even asked that question, but let's see what you got.
You should be afraid, and you're going to have Beyonce playing in the background. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a real woman.
Set yourself up for some debauchery tonight on this one. No, I say powerful. What I mean by powerful is strong in who they are, not compromising beliefs, not going to following the crowd. I love a woman pretty much who stands her ground and kind of does what she does regardless of what anybody else is doing, where people kind of follow her. And I'm not, it doesn't necessarily have to be a celebrity per se. These could be people, you know, that women that are everyday women, from your doctors, your lawyers, to your teachers, man, to the crossing guard lady. I know that sounds crazy, but there's, I know a lot of crossing guard ladies that are mean as crap, that when you drive by, they're looking at you like, you just want to, like, throw something at them. But there's this one lady every morning, regardless of how cold it is, and I'm driving, I drive through a school zone, and she is just always smiling, regardless of how cold it is, how hot it is, stuff like that, man. I think that's the definition of a real woman.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I feel a real woman is someone who, I feel like a real woman is the glue to any family. You know, someone who just makes it all happen and keeps everyone together. Like, you know, women can be emotional at times, but it's the emotional aspect of their personality that kind of holds everything together. They are, like, passionate and sympathetic and loving and caring and giving. And I feel like without that, what would the world be like? It'd be pretty crazy.
Well, I say I like the strength component, and the fearless component in regards to doing what we have to do to get things done. So strength is definitely a component in that definition for me. Yeah.
Cool. No one said, you know, someone who doesn't wear weave, someone who doesn't get
butt injections.
Right. No
one said anything superficial.
That's not a real one.
I was trying to keep the show on a positive light. I figured. It's me being the only male on the show tonight. I thought it'd be wise to play it safe and not say anything crazy. But yeah, I also think sexiness is a part of being a real woman. When I mean sexiness, sexiness in your own right. Like, you are, you know, sexy in just how you carry yourself. You know, it's not it really isn't always look. Sometimes it is just about, you know, the way you carry yourself. For me, like, Claire Huxtable to me, to this day, as old as she still is sexy. That's just me. And it has nothing to, you know, you put her next to Beyonce, I'd be like, hey, Claire Huxtable still sexy.
Aww.
And I mean Felicia Rashad, for those,
yeah,
let's make sure
like,
we understand
this
that. The,
right.
The actual actress.
Right.
Actress and humanitarian Felicia Rashad.
You know it's Felicia.
Felicia, Felicia, Gucci.
It's Felicia. Okay.
Is it really Felicia?
Well, I guess I'll hop in. What?
Is it really Felicia?
It is Felicia, fool. It's Felicia.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Versace, Versace, so I'll say. Okay.
All
no,
your life,
it's
you had that wrong.
That's okay, though.
Like, all my life, I had to fight. Yeah, you had that wrong.
You just had
okay. All right, so I'm going to hop into the next one. Okay, so the women who have come before us have accomplished so much and have defied numerous barriers. What can we learn from them in regards to facing present-day challenges?
Patience. Patience is something I definitely don't have. But in regards to getting things done, sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Patience and being able to like persevere through the fact that it's that whatever you're trying to accomplish isn't happening right away. So patience and perseverance, I will definitely say on the top of my list for that question for sure.
I want to say morals, but I don't want to put that just on women. You know, I think that starts with us guys as well. But definitely the standards that were, you know, back then are no longer the same. I saw an interview with Chris Brown on The Breakfast Club, and he said something I thought about. He said this generation, and he was speaking of, I guess, people maybe, you know, around his age, 25 and younger, that this is the generation of the turn up, pretty much. That you can't think 5 minutes past, you know, past the next, you know, the next moment. It's always about this moment. So it is truly the turn up. Like, everything is about right now. And so I think there's no that alone, it makes you think that you're not thinking about no morals. You're not thinking about, you know, that how this could affect me later on, whatever I do. I think the women of earlier generations had a mindset that, hey, this is going to be done for my children's children's children. And that we don't think about that. Well, our mindset changes with the newest fad, the newest thing. So I think the women of today don't have – and I hate to just put on women, but that's the topic. So they don't have that the forethought for the next day.
I can see that. I mean, some. I wouldn't categorize all women, but
not all.
This,
yep. I don't want to get jumped on this show.
Well, I want girls to be more fearless, and to kind of mirror the actions, not necessarily, but just the fearlessness of people like Harriet Tubman and Rosa Parks, and standing for something and kind of being a champion and a hero. I think that's really important for us to continue propelling forward. And, like, I really appreciated, who was it on the Oscars? It was Patricia Arquette, right, when she did her speech about women's equality in regards to pay. I thought that was very bold of her to kind of make that statement using that platform and that audience to, like, say that, because it means a lot. It's like there's a huge pay gap, especially in a lot of cities across the country, when it comes to men and women doing the same jobs but not getting paid the same amount because of the stigma associated with men in the workplace and women in the workplace. You know, men are technically, in some corporations' minds, supposed to make more because they are the heads of the family. But a lot of times that's changing now in modern-day society. A lot of women are becoming the heads of the family. They are single parents, and they need to make their money, too. They need their, look,
right.
They need their papers. Kids got to go to school. Kids need new shoes. Like, they need to be making an equal amount of money for the same jobs. It's just fair. Like, I don't understand how it could be any other way. So I'm so glad she stood up for that, and I just want more young women to kind of take a stand against something, because if we continue to remain quiet, we just will not see the change that we deserve in many different areas. So that was my speech.
Okay.
I can agree with that.
Okay. So a few of the greats that have come that we've come to honor and appreciate more so as young adults, me being a college kiddo, my college friends, would be Maya Angelou, Fannie Lou Hamer, and First Lady Michelle Obama, because, you know, they truly personify strength and excellence. So did you all grow up with any role models such as the women I mentioned, or did you have a different type of view, or what do you guys think?
Ooh, well, Oprah number one.
Oprah, okay.
You get a call.
Of course, you know.
You get a call.
Oh, definitely. definitely. Well, I say Oprah being number one. I mean, obviously, there's other women like, you know, Dr. Maya Angelou, and I mean, I appreciate Michelle Obama. But just growing up, I mean, obviously, Oprah was on the forefront for me when it came to women who were excelling in business, women who are excelling in philanthropy, because she was just on my TV screen every day, so I saw her, and I was kind of in awe of, like, how could this, you know, this black woman just be doing such amazing things? She gave me hope. She gave me purpose and drive. So I applaud her for that. Another person who actually did, too, who's not on this list, and some of y'all are going to be like, come on, really? But I will say Tyra Banks, because...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously,
yeah,
she started off as, you know, being a model, and I kind of, you know, looked up to her for that. But when she started doing so many other things and kind of stepping out in the forefront as a creative thinker and a businesswoman, I was like, wow, like, you could be beautiful and you could do incredible things, you know, with that involve your mind and your ideas. So she's, like, definitely somebody I want to highlight, too. She's amazing.
I say for me, well, it goes back to Claire Huxtable, also Oprah, Felicia Rashad. But you know what? On a serious note, Debbie Allen, her sister.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I'm into films and all that stuff, so I would see her name, this woman's name, on so many shows that I grew up watching. Or directing. So I, you know, just rolled the credits, and I'm like, who is this, you know, this woman? Come to find out that was Rashad's sister. And even to this day, she does so many things that it's always behind the scenes. I don't think a lot of people, you know, check for her and give her credit, but she's been in this game for so long, and she's always finding ways to reinvent herself. I mean, just behind the scenes, if she's not directing, I think I saw her credit name on, I think, an episode of Scandal and Empire, if I'm not mistaken. I was like, wow, she's back in the 90s, and here she is still moving behind the scenes, and people are still seeking her out just for, you know, her expertise. And I always thought that was dope. But I want to pose another question. I know we've got to keep moving, but what women are there, I mean, like, today? You know what I mean? Because, like, we're saying all these women that we grew up with and whatever and looked up to, but I don't think they're out there like that anymore.
Shonda Rhimes and Mara Brockett-Keel. I mean, that's for me in media. I look up to those.
Well,
two,
yeah,
Mara
I'm talking about, but that's true. But I'm saying that's us. We see that. I'm talking about people 25 and younger. Who?
So like me.
Yeah. So who is, you know, who is a female that you look up to? And And what are the reasons why you look up to them or whatever? You know what I'm saying? Like, who are they?
Well, I definitely look up to Miss Karen Civil. I'm not exactly sure how old Karen Civil is, but I definitely look up to her. But I do understand what you're saying in regards to not necessarily having, like, that go-to list. Like, I have to think about it. Like,
exactly.
Versus, you know, back in the day, it was something that, you know, oh, I like her. She's really dope, blah, blah, blah. Like, now, you know, there's, we live in the world of video vixens, and there's nothing wrong with being a video vixen. Okay, fine. But we live in the world of video vixens.
Shout out to Karen Stephan. Keep going. Keep it moving. Go ahead.
and such like that. And so the tone is a little bit different now versus when y'all probably grew up. So.
Yeah, it's like when you, like you just said, Maya Angelou, you know, and the First Lady Michelle Obama, like those, and Oprah, those are, they're not necessarily entertainers, you know what I mean? So I'm looking at
mm-hmm.
outside of that, outside of entertainment, who do we have, who are people, who are young people saying, hey, I want to be like her or whatever. She's got her, you know, stuff together. She seems like she's a go-getter, she's a grinder, she does this, she's a humanitarian,
mm-hmm.
these things or whatever. And I'm talking about, because it's easy to say, yeah, hey, Nicki Minaj, Rihanna, Beyonce. Of course,
right.
Those would be the, you know, but outside of entertainment.
There are so many. I think that young women who, there are young women out there who have that list, and they should. I think those women who do have the list actively seek out, you know, those positive role models. They're not just looking at just entertainers or, you know, people who are, you know, leading up the path in social media. They actually actively do search out, you know, their favorite, whatever it is, a magazine editor or like the head of, you know, some Fortune 500 company. They are, you know, that information is out there if you search. I'm making it a little bit easier because I'm putting together a book that has them all in there. So stay tuned
yeah.
for that. But, you know, the information's out there. Like one person that should definitely be mentioned is Sheryl Sandberg. She is incredible. She's like pretty much the head female in charge at Facebook. I mean, making huge waves in business, and I just think that she's someone that many young girls should aspire to be like. She has tons of huge campaigns. She collaborates with the Girl Scouts of America. She's actually collaborated with Beyonce as well. So
I guarantee
she has a book called Lean In. That I think
I guarantee our listeners are just now, like, when you said that name, they're not familiar with that name. But I'm glad that you're saying that, so they'll
yeah.
get on, you know, because it's not, like I said, it's not the, you know, this is like I was saying before, this is the time, this is that age where we it's what's in our face, what's on Instagram,
right.
what's on Twitter, what's on Snapchat. So her name, compared to the entertainers and the other people that are out there for, I mean, even a reality star is more recognizable than that name you just mentioned. First of all, you just educated me. You see what I'm saying? So it's like,
mm-hmm.
that's what I mean. It's not in the forefront like an Oprah, like how we had coming up. It's just not there like that. And I think it's important. I'm glad you said that name because I'm definitely going to be checking for it now. Just
because yes.
I think
she
it's important that we have those.
One of the highest paid female executives in the world. She's a billionaire. And she has this incredible book, and I definitely highly recommend for you, Brianna, to read it. I mean, you should read it too, Moira, if you're interested, but it's called Lean
like
In.
Lean
books.
In, right?
I like
yeah,
girl
Lean
I've
In.
I've heard of Lean In,
book.
Actually.
Does it have pictures?
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Really?
I like pictures.
No, it's really, the book is about women in business and how they should speak up and how they should kind of take a stand when it comes to their destiny in their careers, and she kind of guides you into how to do that. It's an incredible book, so I think a lot of people could benefit from it, even guys. So,
yeah, I definitely heard about it when we were talking about women empowerment in books. As far as books go, that definitely was mentioned. What a book, Girl Boss was definitely mentioned.
I
know Girl Boss made waves, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Girl Boss. Miss Sophia, I can't pronounce her name correct. I think I'm gonna butcher it if I say it. Amoruso.
Yeah.
But yeah, her story is definitely like so inspiring. She started from eBay, and now she's,
mm-hmm.
you know. So yeah, there are books out there. It's just a matter of like you wanting to educate yourself, because it's not gonna like be as upfront, I guess. Like Moira was saying.
Right.
Day, unfortunately, but you know.
But I want to add this. First of all, I think women like yourselves, as far as being, you know, people that are young and on the rise as far as empowering women, I think. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on there and I'm trying to brown nose, but as a, definitely I mean that, that you guys, your names sooner than later will be in names that people look to. Ish, of course, I mean, Pretty Girl Sweat alone. If
yeah.
people don't know, they better wake
yeah.
up. So it's stuff like that, I think that's, you know, that it's definitely needed. When I see stuff, you know, when I see you guys doing things, I love it. But I have a daughter, and I need, you know, it's important to have women that you look up to, and I'm glad that this month we're going to be highlighting those women, and, you know, hopefully everybody's going to be checking Instagram and looking and getting educated. Like that name, you just, I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. You know, it's funny you said that. She's a billionaire, but today it came out that Michael Jordan isn't officially a billionaire, and I'm thinking, wow, why isn't this chick name, you know, why isn't the young
mm-hmm.
lady's name that you just said, why didn't I hear that name? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now you know. If you don't know, now you know.
I don't want to say that part. All right. Okay. Okay, so we talked about celebrities, which is great and all. Hallelujah. Praise them. Yeah. But who do you celebrate in your real life? Like, who are the matriarchs in your lives? Like, and what role do they play in helping you, or what role have they played in helping you become who you are today?
Man, oh, man. Well, I'd say my mommy. I'd say my mommy, and, I still call her mommy, and I'm 20 years old. I'm almost 21 years old saying mommy, but yes. I'd say my mom and my grandma for sure. So my mom's a single parent, and so she's really embodied what, I mean, I keep referring back to this word, but strength. Like, she really embodies strength in all that she's done. She's, you know, she has her job, but she also pays her house, my car, her two cars. She's in school. She's getting her doctorate. She's paying for my school. So, it's, you know, she makes it seem like all these impossible tasks are not so much impossible and they're actually doable. And my grandma, as far as my grandma goes, like, I get my personality from her. So, you know, those two women have definitely kept me grounded as far as school goes and outside of school and me developing into, like, a young woman, you know. So my mommy and my grandma, those are it for me, for sure.
Oh, awesome.
I'd say my mother passed away, but pretty much right after high school. But since that time, I had a bunch of women that were, I guess, instrumental in just keeping me, you know, keeping me in line, that weren't even necessarily blood. You know, mothers that were at my church that kind of, you know, just that old Southern hospitality thing is real. But, you know, just really, you know, stepping in when my mom passed away and just, you know, taking care of me, making sure I wasn't acting a fool. And if I was, were quick to remind me of why I shouldn't be acting a fool. So I definitely want to say the women of my church that kind of raised me after that. Another one would have to be Jasmine Sanders. She's a co-host with D.L. Hewley. I knew her for years ago. She's the one that kind of pushed me into, you know, say, you need to do music. And even to this day, when I, you know, call and get advice or whatever, and she'll call and check me and say, you know, why are you doing this? What are you not doing? And Ish, I ain't trying to brag. I hate to say that, but it's true. Ish, you know, this, I'll call her or text her and be like, look, this is what it is or whatever. And folks, just everybody out there, Ish has no problem let you know if you're doing something stupid or backwards. She will let you know real quick. Hey, that's dumb. Why are you doing that? So so definitely Ish is one of those people that I can look up to. I think that's really it. But I think what it is they don't hold their tongue. I love a woman that's honest and doesn't hold their tongue. You know what I mean? And not try to tear you down to the point where you're like, well, dang, I don't wish I hadn't even called you. I'm talking about the point where you feel like, okay, I do feel stupid, but at least I'm, you know, got some strength now afterwards to do something. So I always respect women that speak their mind, but, well, you know, even if they have to bring you down a little bit, will help build you back up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you for that. You're just too kind. I didn't pay him to say that, guys. I totally did not. Oh, okay, for me.
Well, what about you?
Yeah, I was, I'm really blessed to kind of be surrounded by so many hardworking women who just kind of just very focused in life, and I think that helped me, you know, kind of be very focused in my life, just kind of seeing them on a regular basis. You know, from my mom, she is a very fun person, but, like, she's a no holds barred. Like, she just gets things done. She's just very, like, kind of the glue, like I said, the glue that holds everything together and makes things happen. I'm blessed enough to have so many moms. I mean, I have my mom, and then I have my stepmom, who is incredible, another hard worker, such a giver. Like, she is, you know, just wants to make sure that everyone's happy. She doesn't live life for herself, which sometimes can be a bad thing, but the good part is that she does believe in giving to others, and that's incredible, and I think that kind of is where I got that from as well. My first stepmother, so many moms, it's such a shame. Yeah, she was incredible too. She passed away a while ago, about, I guess, pretty much kind of like after high school. No, actually right after 9/11, not right after 9/11, so after college for me. So, yeah, she was incredible, such a hard worker. She used to work for the FBI. She lost her life because of 9/11. She was working at the site, and a lot of people got infections based on just being in that area and breathing in all of the toxins, and as a result, you know, she's no longer here because of that. But she was another incredible, hardworking woman, and I would definitely say my mother-in-law is so special to me because she is the person that will talk me off the ledge. She is a minister and kind of was led to her career path, obviously, by God. But, you know, her husband was a minister, and he lost his life too soon. And it was kind of like her calling to kind of step up and be the next person to lead the church. And she was terrified, and she didn't want to do it. She was just like, I don't want to do it, God, please. Like, don't give me this responsibility. But there was no way around it, and I'm so glad that she did it, because to see her up there and just kind of being fearless and leading the way and just speaking from her heart and talking to the church from a woman's point of view just is amazing to me. And she's the kind of person, like, you could call any time of the day, doesn't matter how late, doesn't matter how early, and if you got a problem, she will sit there, she will listen, she will talk you through it. She's so non-judgmental, and that's kind of how I like to talk to people as well. I'm a very non-judgmental person. I just want to hear what you have to say, and then I just kind of, like, give you my advice based on maybe a personal experience or maybe something I witnessed in somebody else, but I'm never quick to judge. I know that everybody's situations are different, and I'm not going to judge you based on something you did in the past or what I think you're going to do in the future. I'm just in the moment, and I feel like she's helped me with that as well. Very patient woman. Those are the women, yeah, I give my thumbs up to. And a hand clap. A laser roof too. Yeah.
Well, I'm inspired.
Yay.
So,
okay, Moira.
What
you
are
off your hands today?
I really am, but I was gonna ask. I was just, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
So look. Oh God. So I'm sorry. Woo! Okay, now, so what advice do you all have in regards to helping a young girl deal with society's prescription of femininity? Oh, I hate saying that word. It just feels, I feel like I'm always saying it.
Femininity.
Say it fast 3 times.
Femininity.
See?
Femininity, I think. Yeah. So advice, well, some advice I have definitely is to basically, I mean, although it is very hard to do so with so much societal pressure in regards to what you're supposed to look like, how you're supposed to dress, when you're supposed to be responsive and not, I mean, my advice is just to defy that and be yourself, like, be fearless, be strong in regards to just speaking your mind, like, I feel like that's the most beautiful thing about a person, and the most beautiful task a person could do is to speak their mind, like politely, of course, you know, but to be different from someone in that way. I mean, all of our ideals are different. You know, we don't need drones walking around here. You know, I would definitely encourage a girl not to be another drone. You know, speak her mind.
Yeah. I think it's important for everyone to teach young girls the beauty in being themselves.
Yes.
A lot of times,
yes.
You know, we put magazines in front of them, images on TV, images on social media to tell them what's beautiful, but there's not enough messages about reassuring them that they are beautiful. Like, there's different types of beauty. Like, you don't have to be this one cookie cutter thing. And I'm going to somewhat quote Kanye on this. He was on the BET Honors. They aired it last week. And one of the things that he mentioned during his acceptance speech, he kept talking about Kim the whole acceptance speech. I'm like, come on, stop trying to make us all like Kim. Like that's not what we know. You're married, it's fine. Like, your everyday campaign doesn't have to be like, I got to make the world love my wife. Like, who cares? Like, you love her, you like it, I love
right.
it. Like, you know what I mean? So anyway, one of the things that he mentioned was that a lot of people have negative things to say about Kim, you know, and her nudity. I don't know if he necessarily mentioned it on this particular BET Honors thing, but he may have mentioned it on The Breakfast Club. I think he mentioned it on The Breakfast Club. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why would your wife pose nude if she is so rich? Like, why is she so thirsty for attention? And for him, you know, his rebuttal was, you know, when Kim first started out in entertainment, she didn't really have a lot of access. She didn't have the ability to work with some of the most amazing photographers in the world. And now that she has kind of like a new social circle, she's able to do that. And he's like, I feel like if my wife wants to pose nude in a very, you know, high-end editorial way with one of the most amazing photographers in the world, then that's her right to do so. I mean, she has a right to pose nude if she wants to. Why should she have to, you know, do what the world expects for her to do? Like, you know, there's no rule. It's not against the law to do that. So, like, why does everyone, you know, care so much? And he's like, my thing is I want the world to realize that she is beautiful too. There's, for many years, it's like, tall, skinny, blonde, blue-eyed girls were considered to be beautiful, but she's totally different. She's short, she's thick, she's curvy, she has dark hair. Like, why, you know, can't we put that image out there? Like, this is beautiful as well. He's like, because my daughter has the potential of growing up and looking just like her, and I want her to know that when she gets older, and if she happens to look like her mother, that she's beautiful too. So I'm trying to, like, perpetuate those images and stereotypes as well with my family. And I kind of got his point on that. I was like, okay, I see what
I kind of get it. Just the nudity part rubs me away. But
well,
I get it.
What?
Hey, I get it.
Well, and I guess it's not going to make no sense for me because I'm a dude and it's a girl that's naked. So naturally, I'm going to be all, you know, thumbs up. That's what you would think. But no, my thing is ultimately this, though. If that's your wife, right, and you have no issue putting her on, you know, like letting her do that or whatever,
right,
then I don't have no problem with it. But I guess also understand what comes with it. And I think they do. I don't think Kanye or Kim or whatever is fazed by what what media, you know, the media says. I think they're kind of numb to that now. I mean, I think any entertainer to a certain point has to be numb. But back to what you said in regards to the image and about a woman feeling and growing up and feeling beautiful, I definitely agree with that. I think there needs to be more images of different women, because I think for so long the image was like you said, and even today the image is still a certain type of woman. Like, I mean, I remember for so long it wasn't like cool for a dark skinned chick to be, you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't see many of those, and I think even still, that is still kind of, you know, I don't want to say taboo. What's the word? Maybe not the popular thing or whatever. And it makes people feel a certain way.
Until Lupita Nyong'o came out with a dark skin, smooth skin, short hair.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you. Let's keep putting that image out there. But that's your
exactly. But before that, we didn't see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I definitely think that when you,
it's Halle Berry.
I think when you see images like that, it does make it like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I would agree, like, especially, like, when you see a real-life person. Like, for instance, like, when I grew up, there was, there's varying shades of Barbie dolls, right? But what kind of Barbie dolls was I prone to pick up and purchase? Were the fairer skin and the Caucasian Barbies. Like, although there were the darker-skinned Barbies, you know, they were there, but I feel like having a, like, real-life example and hearing them talk and quoting them and seeing how they live their lives and such like that, I feel like it makes it more not appealing, but it makes it more real and tangible, and you can understand a little bit more on why beauty comes in different shades and sizes and such like that. I feel like we need more real life examples. If that makes sense, I don't know if that makes sense.
Hey, absolutely. Look, let me tell you this: even for us dudes, if it wasn't for Tyrese, I wouldn't be here. I just want to say thank you, Tyrese.
Don't
say that. In fact, when we get a chance at the end of the show, we need to play a Tyrese song. Just want to say thank you for singing,
oh,
for sitting on the back of that bus.
That will not be happening. Sorry.
It changed my life.
No Tyrese today.
It changed my life. I'm just saying. He changed my life.
Okay. Well, is it my turn to answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So, although you guys may have some individual or some overlapping hopes for your girls, what is the greatest lesson you aspire to teach them?
Ooh, that's a good one. To never give up. I feel like we live in such a, like, microwave society where it's like people want things right now. And if it doesn't come right now, like, I'm done with it and on to the next thing. And I had to learn that, you know, even myself with, you know, my career for many years, I've tried different things, but I've also, with things that I'm most passionate about, I've been very consistent with. And I try my best to instill that into not only my girls, but just every girl that I cross paths with. Like, if you have a dream, if you have a hope, a desire, a passion, like, don't just try it for a month. Don't just try it for a year.
Yes.
Like, keep pushing, you know, and then also while you're pushing, like, give it your all. Like, don't halfway do things and expect for the results to be enormous, you know. It's like if you get in, you get out of something whatever you put into it. So I'm definitely, that's my main goal, like, just making sure they don't think that things happen quickly and fast. They just don't.
Right.
Oh, this is a fable that I think it was like a fable, a story that I read. And old man was walking in the woods with this young man. And when, I know that sounds weird, but.
I'm like, wait, okay, I'm following you, okay.
Okay, so they get to a river and they stop, and the old man looks at the young man. The young man says to the old man, you're so old and you're so wise. Can you please teach me everything that you know? And the old man says, okay. And he said, well, look into the river. What do you see? And the young man looks over into the river and he's like, I don't really see much. And so the old man takes the back of his head and shoves his head in the water and keeps his head
in
the
water. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's basically trying to breathe and gasp for air. So that, as he's struggling in the water, finally the old man lets him come up to breathe, and he's like kind of all disheveled, and he's like, why did you do this to me? Like, what's going on? And the old man said, when your head was under the water, what did you want more than anything else? And the young man said, you know, to breathe. And he said, yes, whenever you get that feeling when it comes to learning, then ask me that question again to teach you.
Oh, okay.
And it's true. Sometimes, you know, young people feel like the answers come so easily. It's like, no, they don't.
Yeah.
You got to put in some work and some time and some tears and some elbow grease to kind of really get the answers. It just doesn't come to you that easily. So I thought that was a pretty...
Well, and, you know, like, our generation, like, well, my generation, for instance, like, we're all about instant gratification. Like, mm-hmm. for instance, like, social media, like, we can push a button and send a message that anybody essentially can see, or we can get online and find out information to anything virtually that we want to know. I mean, granted, we might have to look around a little bit, but basically what I'm saying is, like, there's so much at our fingertips, so when... You know, when things are taking longer than we expect, you know, it's just this big problem. And, you know, it's just, you know, how we were raised, unfortunately. But I would definitely say, like, working hard. I like the reward factor, like, that I did this, like, they took this long. But, you know, out of all that hard work, this is what happened, you know. I think more people should take that approach when they start tasks and stuff like that. So I definitely agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, to add to that, you know, it's extremely important for girls to kind of define their worth. We were talking about it earlier. Find role models. Like, you know, video vixens being in the forefront, or those Instagram models being in the forefront.
Yeah.
So many women are being objectified in society, whether it is, you know, movies. I know a lot of people have negative feelings towards the 50 Shades of Grey movie
because they feel
that, you know, Anna is being objectified by this high-powered, you know, executive who kind of takes advantage of her. So it's like when you see those type of images of women and it's being portrayed as, you know, sexy and beautiful and, like, this is what you should aspire to be. You know, I was even listening to a T.I. song earlier today. And I love, and let me preface this by saying I no way against, like, any hip-hop artist. I love music. I love hip-hop music. I love the grittiness of it. I love how raw and ratchet it is. I can't help myself. It's just what I grew up on. Okay. But sometimes I catch myself and I'm like, dang, did he just,
like,
say that?
Right. Like, what did he just say?
Right. So I had that moment today when I was listening to T.I. and what's the chick? Iggy Azalea's Mediocre. And it was basically T.I. was saying one part of the song, like, you just need to do this because you know you want that handbag. I was like, dang, man, that's real. Like, that's what girls are doing. Like, they would do anything for a handbag.
Right.
That's terrible.
And not only that, like, when you were saying 50 Shades of Grey, like, immediately I thought of, you know, and I grew up watching the, reading the, well, not grew up, because that was a couple years ago, but I used to read the Twilight books.
Thinking
about it, I'm like, well, why does she always have to be saved by something, like a vampire or a werewolf? Why can't she, you know, like, have the strength to do something for herself? I don't know. It just seemed like every time Bella fell into some trouble, there was a werewolf there, or there was Edward there, or lack of thereof, or whatever. So, yeah, our girls always being seen as, we need to save you. And that's, you know, Disney, too. Princesses, there's always a man to save her. So,
We got to change the story, girls. We need to definitely redefine what it means to be a woman, and I definitely feel that it does tie in with knowing your worth. You are worth more than a handbag. That's my PSA.
Yes, than a handbag and Red Lobster dinner or something.
Way more than that. Okay.
Right.
That's why another person that I really look up to is Angela Simmons.
She's really nice.
She knows her worth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She really does. And I applaud her for all that she's not only done in business, but just in her personal life. She values her health. She eats well, exercises. She believes in saving herself for marriage. She's incredible. She's almost kind of freaking too perfect, but I love her.
She's really dope. Yes, yeah, I mean, it was great watching her on her show, her family show with Rev and her family. And, like, you know, that was someone I looked at, like, wow, her and her sister, like, especially when they started their shoe line, I was like, wow, like, this is, you know, if I wanted to start something, I could start something. So she definitely was a major source of inspiration when the show was on. Another question. What motivates women to hate on other women, and how can we encourage the opposite?
Oh, my God. Well, I already know what motivates them. It's just insecurity. So many women are so insecure that the only way to feel secure about themselves is to hate on someone else. The only way to make themselves feel better about themselves is to hate on themselves. And so the best way that we can encourage the opposite is to teach women how to self-love.
Right. Yeah.
You have to love yourself before you can love others. There's just no way around it. Like, it's impossible to really love and encourage and uplift someone else if you hate yourself.
And that's definitely correct. And, like, one of the organizations I'm in at school, our theme for the year is self-love. And a lot of people think that self-love is like a one-stop shop or like a destination. It's like, actually, it's a process, you know. And it takes a while for some folks, you know. But it's also one of those things you can't give up on. If there's one thing that you just cannot give up on in life, and that's yourself. So definitely taking the time to practice self love and reflecting on like your strengths and stuff like that will definitely help you to not tear down anyone else. Because you don't shine in the shade. You do not shine in the shade.
Sure don't. Okay.
Also, let's see, important. I think it's important that we should note that advocating for women's rights isn't necessarily male bashing. So, do you have any comments in regard? I mean, because like I went to a women's leadership conference last year, and one of the keynote speakers was saying that, you know, hey, we want our rights for sure. We want equal treatment, but you know, we also need guys. Like, we need guys. We need their support and help. It's not because we hate you or anything. You know?
Right.
We do need your help. So what do you think about that?
No, I couldn't agree with you more. We need men. Well, we need men and specifically fathers to support them.
Yes.
Because, obviously, you know, a father is a young girl's first love, really, when you think about it. The first love male, you know, role model in their lives, you know, the first male that they can depend and count on. So we need more fathers to be supportive of this and to kind of like instill, kind of set the foundation for young women when it comes to quality, showing them how a woman should be treated. So that way when they leave the house, they know how someone should treat them. All of those things. So I definitely think it starts right in the home with just good male role models, good dads, you know?
Yeah, good dads, good grandpas. Because I didn't grow up with my dad, but I will say that my grandpa was that. He stepped in and took the role. So anyone who's that male in your household or outside of your household who's close enough, yeah, they definitely step up to the plate, everybody, and
totally. I even had a track coach in high school who was incredible. Like, well, there was a certain group of girls, like we all ran track, so everyone called him Mr. Sewell or Coach Sewell, but we got to call him Uncle Gene.
Aww.
Yeah, and he was so incredible. He was so good with us, like always making us feel special, always, you know, encouraging us and really pushing us. He knew how to, like, get us to try our best, but do so in a way that, you know, we didn't hate him as a result. You know, there could be some coaches that are just mean.
But yeah, like, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, we respected him, but we respected him because he just cared. You know, he was the type of person who's like, you need help with your work, like, I'm here for you. He wasn't just a 2-4 kind of role model, meaning, like, the after school, like, I only mess with you because I need you to make sure we get to the thing. Championship kind of role model. He was like, stop by my class any day. He was like the ultimate hangout class. Like, we didn't even have his class. We'd be like, we just going to go in there.
Well, that's great. Like, hey. He was actually a teacher too. Like,
yeah.
So he already had that like sense of care already, you know, embodied in him as a teacher. So yeah.
Absolutely. So that was definitely, you know, I think it's important for not only fathers but also male teachers to kind of use the time, because they spend so much time with, you know, female students during the day. Students spend a lot of time at school. So, like, use that time to make girls feel, like, know their worth, you know, to teach them something a little, not really extra. I'm not trying to make women, you know, better than the guys either, but sometimes
right.
it's just equal, you know, and sometimes guys have different access that girls don't. So just making sure girls have a fair shot at everything, you know?
I agree. I definitely agree.
Well, we were going to play a cool little speed trivia game, but I think it would be awesome if, well, we could do it really fast, right? I think we could get through
okay.
it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the questions and you're gonna answer?
Yeah, to my best ability. Okay. And then also, too, we could post this. We could post the whole quiz online to see, get the answers.
Who can get it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So, game time. So you're going to have 60 seconds to answer, as you know. As many questions as possible before the time runs out. So I'm going to start the countdown. If the countdown goes, oh, my gosh. Well, let's just start. Okay. Who made their fortune by developing a successful line of cosmetics for African-American women in the early 1900s?
Wait, I don't get a multiple choice? I guess
no,
not. Okay.
You don't get it.
Okay. So
I would think
Madam C.J. Walker.
Okay, that's correct. See, you got that one.
Good.
That one.
Okay.
Okay.
I played her. I played her in a play when I was younger, so you know. Okay.
See, you should definitely know that one. Okay.
Yeah.
What year? Oh gosh. Okay, I'll give you a multiple choice on this. What year did American women gain the right to vote?
Oh gosh.
Okay, so I can give you like 1940 or like 1919 and then 1920. Which one?
God. Women right to vote.
Ooh. Yes.
Was it the 20s? 1920s?
Yeah, 1920. Oh. That's good. 1950 or 40 was
kind of
way out
too late. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Okay. So in 1932... what did Amelia Earhart successfully do?
Flew a plane, right?
Yeah, but where, like, do you know, like, well, it was around the world, or was it around the Pacific, or was it around the Atlantic?
Oh, gosh, you're getting too specific. I just knew she flew a plane. So, oof, tell me.
I'm getting deep. Well, she definitely flew solo across the Atlantic. So that's
there
important.
We go. Okay.
Okay, so who wrote the book entitled I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings?
Dr. Maya Angelou?
Correct. That's a classic.
Okay.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
Okay, so who was the first woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize? So
Ooh.
We got, I can give you her first initial. This is
oh
hard. I can give her initials. One's a J, the first name starts with a J, and the last name starts with an A, and she won in 1931. She She founded the Hull House.
The what house?
The Hull House. You never heard of the
oh,
Hull
just tell
house?
Us the answer, Brianna. The anticipation
okay,
is killing
Jane
me.
Addams. Jane Addams.
Oh,
Ms. Jane
Addams.
Addams.
Okay.
Okay. So where was the first women's rights convention held? I can give you the state. It was held in New York. Do you know the city?
Was it New York? I don't know. Albany?
Seneca Falls.
Syracuse?
Seneca Falls.
Oh.
Well, you're kind of close because it started with an S, but, you know, Falls, New York. Okay.
Oh, Seneca Falls. Okay.
Yeah. This one you should definitely know. Okay. Who was the first woman to ever own and produce her own talk show?
Oprah Winfrey.
Yes. Yes, Oprah. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I can do like two more. So I'm going to read a sentence. I was the first African-American woman to win an Academy Award. And she always wore a flower in her hair. And Miss Monique.
Dorothy Dandridge?
Hattie McDaniel.
Oh, sure was. I'm tripping.
No, you're
the
good.
Flower thing threw me off. All I could see was
Dorothy. Didn't she wear, I could have sworn she wore, not a hydrangea, but a flower in her hair. But anyway, maybe not. Maybe I threw you off. One more. So who was the first African-American all-around Olympic gold medalist and first female to win both the AA and team gold medals in the same Olympics? She is so dope. And she's young. She's young. And this is recently. This is like the most recent Olympics. And she was on Oprah. She has a nickname, but most people, you know, last name is Douglas.
Oh, Gabby Douglas. Okay.
Yes.
Very
Gabby
cool.
Douglas.
Yeah. All right.
Well, there's
I don't
one
know why I thought you were talking about track. I'm so thrown off. I was like,
really?
How was it recent? Yeah, I thought you said track. I thought you said. She ran or something. I don't know. I was thinking that you were talking about a track star. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. Miss Gabrielle Douglas.
Yay. We got to put that on the site for sure. Little history lesson. That's a cool article. Okay. Post that. Oh, we should turn those all into Instagram posts too. Just saying.
We can do that too.
Okay.
Entertainment news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
Picture. Not even talking.
Good.
All right, well, last week, E! News star Juliana Rancic caused a huge controversy after making an inappropriate joke about Disney star Zendaya. Now, on the post-Oscar edition of Fashion Police, Rancic said that Zendaya's faux locks suggested the smell of patchouli oil or marijuana. Now, Rancic came under fire from so many people. Obviously, Black Twitter.
Yeah.
Even White Twitter stepped in on that one. And Kelly Osbourne, who stars in The Fashion Police and who's also a friend of Zendaya, she decided to permanently leave the show days after complaining about co-host comments. Yeah. And E! Entertainment said Friday that Osbourne is indeed leaving to pursue other options.
See, wow. Yeah, because I had heard that she was thinking about leaving, but I didn't know that it was like a confirmed thing. Wow. Yeah.
Right. Now, Zendaya was spotted by TMZ at the end of last week after the controversy, and she said that she forgives Juliana. She was actually being filmed while walking with her dad when they were asking her questions about the situation. She said that she kind of sees the positive in it for it to be a good teachable moment for people to kind of not perpetuate stereotypes like that. But she says she doesn't have any beef with Juliana. She's kind of like over it. That's last week. She's done. But it was very interesting. The Oscars just aired last Sunday. And Zendaya was filmed maybe like 4 days afterwards by TMZ. And she no longer had the locks in her hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I noticed that too. She didn't have the locks.
So they asked her, they were
like,
yeah, they were like, what's up with that? Why don't you have the locks anymore? Like, I feel like you were taking a stand, you know? Like, you should have kept those locks in for at least a week.
Yeah, just
and she
like
was
a
like,
little bit longer, like 2 weeks.
Something, a little bit. Longer than, like, 2 days. And she responded by saying they were just too tight. She couldn't keep them.
Oh, well, hey. Hey, that works.
It sure does. Next up, speaking of the Oscars, Lupita Nyong'o's birthday was yesterday.
Happy belated birthday.
Yes. Well, she had a lot of media attention recently because her Oscar dress was stolen from the London Hotel in L.A. Now, the dress was reportedly worth over $150,000.
Oh, my gosh.
So many beads on them. Not beads, pearls.
Pearls.
Yeah. Each equaling up to $100 a piece or whatever. Long story short. The dress was returned because the thieves found out that all the pearls were fake and they could not use them. Done. And that's the end of that story. Next up, can we talk about that dress really quick? Oh, we don't have that much time. The dress. Okay, if you haven't heard or you haven't seen anything about it, there's a picture of a dress that's causing quite a stir on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, virtually everywhere. It's ridiculous. Now, to some, the garment appears to be striped blue and black. Others claim to see white and gold. I thought it was complete craziness. I thought that I know the dress is blue and white. I know it's blue and white.
Yes.
I thought that everyone who was seeing white and gold was just messing with us
so we could think that we're crazy, and it was like
you.
An ongoing joke, right? But today,
right.
My dad looked at it. We were watching TMZ, and he was like, it's white and gold. And now, for him to say that, and he doesn't know anything about this whole controversy,
wow.
I was
yeah.
like, wait a second. Maybe people are perceiving this color different based on their eyes. I don't know.
Maybe so. I don't know. I know for sure that it was black. I know for sure it's black and blue. I know it.
No, it is. It's been confirmed by the general. It's black and blue. Yeah, it has been confirmed by the Just Company. It is indeed black and blue. And the show has come to an end.
Yeah,
guys, we talked too much today. Sorry.
Yes, I'm sorry, y'all.
It's okay. But can't wait to see you all next week. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll be following up with some cool content that covers more amazing women in history. As always, thanks for listening to TD Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for more awesomeness. Until then, follow us on Twitter at Teen Diaries, at Moiba AKMO, and at Mouthing Off Blog. And as always, remember to stay young, stay fly, stay unique, and stay fabulous. We're out.
Woo-hoo! Peace out.